Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. Hi, this is Rick, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, and tonight I've got a very special treat. I've got my sweet wife, Stephanie, with me. Say hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
And we just got back from New York last week. We wanted to talk about that a little bit. We also wanted to talk about Myra Kirshenbaum's book, When Good People Have Affairs. And tonight is going to be a call-in program. I know we haven't done that recently simply because we've had so much material to cover and we've done many, many interviews. So tonight, if you'd like to call us, you can give us a call at 637-9673. That's 637 word, W-O-R-D, 637-9673. Or you can also email me at rick@hope-now.com. That's rick@hope-now.com. We'd love to hear from you, and I think it just makes the program a lot more fun. Kathy and Wayne, if you guys are listening over on the West Coast, be sure to give us a call, or any of you other West Coast people. Any of those of you up in Corey, up in Canada, or we'd love to hear from you. So for sure, give us a call tonight. Again, area code 512-637-9673. And as we go along tonight, we wanted to finish talking about the bad advice blogs this evening and just announce the winners. However, we're having trouble finding all of the entries on the Bad Advice blog, so that'll probably go out in an email tomorrow for those of you who entered. And as those of you who were participating in our new site celebration week, we're actually going to be giving away 5 subscriptions, so you can become one of our subscribers at no charge for an entire year. And in addition to that, we're also giving away to those 5 people one course, either the Harboring Hope course or one of the Marriage 911 courses. So tonight, at least we'll be talking about what happened this past week. So I guess with that, while I wait for someone to call in, because I know that you guys all want to call and ask Stephanie questions about me tonight, it'll be just my luck no one calls in tonight and she won't get to answer any questions.
Oh, I have a lot of things to tell you about him.
Okay, great. So let me tell you about the events of last week in case you weren't aware of all of the craziness that happened to us. A couple of weeks ago, I actually made a blog entry. I'm not all that big into blogging yet. I've got friends who blog every day, several times a day. I'm not a blogger. Pure bloggers, as I've kind of noticed, you know, if you're not making entries, you know, at least once a day, you're not really considered a blogger. So I guess I would not really be considered a blogger, even though to me a blog is a blog is a blog, even if you just make an entry once a year. And I try to do a little bit better than that, and I'm really trying to get down to once a week, which is neither here nor there. But I made an entry because Aaron, our webmaster, sent me an excerpt from a book called When Good People Have Affairs by Myra Kirshenbaum. And one of Myra's premises was, if you're the unfaithful spouse, whatever you do, don't tell about your affair.
Bah, humbug.
That ultimately, you need to take your affair to your grave, or the knowledge of your affair to your grave.
She has 2 exceptions.
Yes, well, what are the 2 exceptions?
One of them is if there is unprotected sex So there's a possibility of an STD. And the other one is if there's a possibility that your spouse will find out. And that would be if you are in the perhaps the same circle of friends. But you know, there's always a huge chance your spouse will find out. And many times it's unprotected sex. But those are her two exceptions.
Right. And the reality is, it's funny. I think God has a way of helping you be found out just for your own good. I think that's what it's talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 when it says, "Nothing in all creation will be hidden from the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So, you know, we've always been of the opinion for lots of reasons that you're far better off going ahead and letting your mate know. And we'll talk more that about that. In fact, George, I just want – George is our producer in there. George, if you want to chime in on any of this, you feel free. If the phone lines don't light up, again, for the phones, area code 512-637-9673. Because we'd love for you guys to weigh in. Do you think you ought to tell your mate if there's been – any form of infidelity? Because, I mean, that's a relevant question. So when I saw that piece that Aaron sent me, I immediately grabbed my computer. It was late at night. I was tired. I thought, I can't not respond to this. So I wrote and said, this is basically crazy. You really want to be able to tell the truth. That one of the things I learned with Stephanie that you can never be loved unconditionally if you only conditionally let your mate know who you are. That ultimately, intimacy is the ability, a willingness to let another person really know you. And while it may create a little bit of short-term instability, lies in a relationship, deceit in a relationship, in no way make that relationship closer. Now, I think it was Mira's contention or her position that the reason you don't tell is you're going to hurt your mate.
Well, no, I can tell you exactly what she said.
Okay, that's why I bring Stephanie along, because she has such a great
memory.
She said,
well, the offended spouse would remember. She said, you don't tell because you put your mate through hell. Those were her words exactly. She said you make them miserable for, in her mind, an unnecessary reason.
And so you put your mate through hell. Did I put you through hell when I told you everything?
Well, yes, you did. But that doesn't mean that I would have wanted. I thought I was losing my mind. So I was already in a bad place. And to have been made to feel like I was crazy was no less of a hell, really. It was different, but it was no less of a bad place to be than when you told me that you were having an affair.
Right. In past episodes, we've talked about how frequently the unfaithful spouse will make their mate feel like they're crazy because
absolutely
when they begin to feel somewhat slighted, and or they get just maybe the Holy Spirit's just giving them discernment that something's going on, the unfaithful spouse will lie like a rug in an attempt to continue to cover up the entire situation.
And so, of course, then I felt like I am losing my mind. How can I be so paranoid about this? You know, I felt like that my whole world was just upside down because I knew something was not right. And then when you told me, no, that nothing was going on, you know, when you lied to me, then I was even more convinced that I'm going out of my mind.
And so all of that leads us up to last Tuesday, which would have been the 15th. No, that would have been the 14th. Monday, the 14th. And in the afternoon, I got a call from Fox News in New York City. And they asked why I'd written the blog about Mira, because they were actually going to be interviewing Mira on the morning show, the Mike and Juliet show. It's Channel 7 here in Austin, but Fox is on, obviously, all over the nation. And they wanted to see if I was willing to come and talk to Mira and take the opposing position.
They were really, it was a book promotion for
her.
Yeah,
they were trying to promote her book, When Good People Had Affairs. And since I really wasn't that much in favor of her book, When Good People Have Affairs, since I thought it had bad advice and not good advice, and I hadn't even thought about that, but that does connect well with the bad advice blog. I should make a blog entry about that now, which would be my bad advice is reading Mira's book. I mean, Mira is a sweet lady. Please do not,
yes.
I am not knocking Mira because I love Mira. I just don't agree with Mira. So with Mira, one of the things that, well, they asked if I could even bring some other couples up to New York who had had affairs and who had actually told and had worked through it, because they didn't understand how anybody could work through it. So I quickly called two couples. They interviewed both couples. They were absolutely blown away. For instance, one of the couples, he had had probably about 300 prostitutes plus a long-term affair with his wife's best friend. They had reconciled, and the women up in New York were just like, that is impossible. There's no way that could happen. And then the second one was just about that bad, and they were blown away by that one. And so they said, they called back and they said, look, neither one of those couples work, because that's really more sexual addiction. Can you give us one where there's just been a good affair?
Just a clear-cut affair.
Just a clear-cut affair. So I gave them another couple with a clear-cut affair who was also willing to go up to New York, and except that his employer ultimately nixed it. They loved his story. And you know, now they've been able to talk with three families that have worked through it, and they're doing great. And they were like, wow. And they said, well, now we're on to Tuesday morning. We've got to fly out Tuesday afternoon to get to New York City for Wednesday's show. And they said, can you think of any more couples? And I said, no.
No, you did give them.
Well, I gave them one more couple.
Yeah, there were some more couples, but that's short of notice.
But it was just short notice. And we're given, at this point, we're down to 3 hours notice for people having to fly out and miss work for a day.
So guess who's left?
So I called Stephanie and said, hey, Steph, you want to go to New York City?
How fast can you throw clothes in a bag?
That's right. Can you pack a suitcase now? So the dear sweet woman sat there and packed her suitcase, and they sent us tickets. We went to the airport, and we vamoosed from Austin and flew to New York City. But at least they gave us a direct flight, which we really appreciated.
That was great.
That really was nice. But they didn't put us in first class, which would have been nice.
That was not good.
That was not good, but it's okay. We got there. And for Stephanie and I, we're just simple country folk. For those of you who don't know, we actually live out in the country down dirt roads, which is about as country as you get, I think.
Yes.
The nearest grocery store is
45 minutes away.
Yeah. Well, we have a convenience store within 15 minutes. So
I would not buy anything there. Okay, the price is way too high.
So anyway, we live out in the country. So country folk hit New York City. And we get met at the escalators, are going to the badge claim by the guy holding the sign. They gave us a limo.
We had a driver the whole 24 hours we were there.
That was like way cool. We decided we could live like that.
That was the highlight of the trip.
That's right. Getting to have our own personal driver. And yeah, that was good. And of course, I was cramming through Mira's book as quickly as I could, because I had not read all of Mira's book. And before I got on television, I felt like I should finish her book.
Let me mention that they called it a debate when they talked to me and prepped me for questions and things on the phone before we left. They said, now, and they made reference to the debate with Mira. And I said, can I clarify something? I said, I'm viewing this as a discussion. And they said, no, we're viewing it as a debate. I got a little nervous after that.
Yeah, I think they actually thought it would be good TV to have us fighting on camera. And so we're getting ready for the debate, and we're prepping. And actually, the good thing was, it's a long book. Well, it's not that long a book, but all I had to worry about was the portion of the book I disagreed with on whether or not you tell the truth. There were a couple of other portions of the book I didn't fully agree with, but I didn't have to worry about those, which was nice.
Right.
And so we arrive about 11 o'clock. They take us to a nice hotel and stick us up on this floor in this hotel I didn't even know existed, where it's key access only. Country folk here again, just we don't understand these things. And we were in the hotel, 7 hours maybe?
Because they picked us up at 7 the next morning.
Wonderful hotel. We only got to be there 7 hours because we had to leave at 7 the next morning again. You know,
I don't think we even saw it in the daylight.
We didn't.
No. They came and got us at 7.
And so, the limo takes us into the studios. That's when you really start feeling like you're something when you're really not. And then we went inside, and man, if any of you ever get a chance, in fact, we'll be going back up there, I think, in the near future. So if any of you want to come with us, you're more than welcome, because you got to be on national television and tell your story. However, there is a great spread of food, man. They had bunches of food, so it was good. You could eat well there in the studio. And they prepped us, and they do your makeup and your hair. You want to tell them about doing your hair, honey?
Why don't you tell them about them doing your hair, honey, since you don't really have a lot of hair.
I don't have a lot of hair, so there wasn't a lot to do with my hair.
But it was great, though. The lady that did my hair was a Christian, and that was so neat because we had really been praying that there would be people in the actual studio that we might be able to visit with, or in some way God might use us to impact their life, because we knew we'd spend more time with those people behind the studio than anyone else. And she was a Christian, and a very bold Christian, and she talked about her faith, how much she loved the Lord, and so that was a real fun experience. And it's always great to have somebody do your hair, you know.
Well, you were worried about them doing your hair.
Well, I just knew it needed a lot of help.
Yeah.
I told her. I was sitting in the chair, and she looked at me. She said, well, she had a bit of an accent, and I said, honey, we have a lot of work to do here. And she said, oh, no problem. And they liked my white hair, so that was also nice. And they did your makeup. You looked very nice, honey.
Yeah, I didn't even know they did makeup like that, and that was kind of interesting. But
I thought they put mascara on you, though.
They did not put mascara on me.
Such a disappointment.
We would have had a fight at that point. So we weren't doing the mascara routine. And then we go out on the stage, and high energy probably does not even begin to describe. They have an audience.
Yeah, an audience of about 50 people.
And they're all sitting there watching you.
Well, now, before we went out, though, they had done a bit of the segment with Mira.
Right.
Mike and Juliet had visited just a little bit with Mira about her book. And then they cut to a commercial and then brought us out and then cut back to us. And Mira, then they had not given her an opportunity to state her belief about not telling. So they went back to her and had her kind of clarify that and then ask us.
Yeah, and the main problem was in the previous segment, at least from my opinion, we were supposed to have about 5 minutes. We ended up with 3.5 minutes by the time the camera started rolling. After they picked up where they had been and had to correct not having asked Mira about not telling if you had an affair, that leaves us back down to about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So time was going quickly to say the least. And, you know, I very quickly told them about my own affair, and that and it was interesting because the audience, it's kind of like being on Geraldo at that point or Jerry Springer, because the audience all starts booing, you know.
When he said it was with my best friend, they said, well, who was your affair with, Rick? And he said, with my wife's best friend and my best friend's wife, and they booed.
Yeah, I had the whole audience booing, and so I had to confess right there on the sets that indeed that was a bad situation, which they all agreed with.
Made me look like a saint, honey.
Yeah, you were looking good. That halo was shining over her head, and it wasn't just the reflection of the lights, which were quite bright.
On my white hair.
On your white hair. So they then turned to Stephanie and ask her what in the world she thought about, you know, that.
They asked me, are you glad he told you, Stephanie? And I said, yes. And they said, oh, she's glad he told her. Did you hear that? She's glad he told her.
Actually, I think they said, did it blow the back of your head off?
Oh, later they said that.
Oh.
And they said, did that blow the back of your head off? And I said, no. But I told them, yes, I was glad you told me.
Right. And I explained that it just seemed to me that it's not right for the unfaithful spouse to try to control their mate by the flow of information. And ultimately, that's what begins to happen if you don't tell. You really rob them of the opportunity and the ability to make their own choice.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they were very – it was interesting. Juliet said that she had been through a similar situation. Because they asked me if I had, you know, when they said, did it blow the back of your head off? And I said, no. I said, I had a feeling that something was not quite right. And I was talking about that. And Juliet said, yes, she'd had that happen to her once before, too. And then she asked Rick, what did I do?
And I told her, I lied, you know, I lied like a rug and made her think she was crazy.
Yeah. And Juliet said, that's what happened to me.
That's right. And that's what happens frequently, I think, to the hurt spouse when that doesn't happen, is mm-hmm. you really kind of communicate to them that all of their intuition, that their discernment of the Holy Spirit, it's off.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's right. Way
it, you know, kind of makes them begin to really doubt themselves and to think they are crazy.
Yes, I began to think I was the bad person. That, you know, I just think about that. I began to think I was the bad person for thinking bad of you instead of you being the bad person because you were unfaithful. I just realized that. I mean, that it had to do with me feeling bad about being suspicious.
Well, it's only taken you 24 years to figure that out,
I guess so. Well, I'm kind of slow.
Rick, can I jump in here?
Absolutely,
I'm watching
George.
You two and having fun. First of all, I've got to ask, you know, I'm looking at your beautiful wife and I'm thinking, how in the world could anybody cheat on a woman as beautiful as that? And she looks every bit as sweet as she is beautiful. So, I mean, the lady you stepped out on must have been Miss Universe or something.
I just want to ask you, George, do you think national TV picked up on that too? That I was
yes.
the beautiful woman
oh, yes.
and how could he have
it's
done
obvious.
That?
It's obvious. It's obvious.
Oh, good, good. I just want to feel like I've been helped there.
So let's ask the ultimate question, why did you do that, Rick?
Well, first off, George, is as you know, when people have affairs, they affair down. Rarely do I see
glad some, to hear that.
Slumming, huh?
Slumming is a great way of saying it.
Why do people slum and do that? Why do we do that?
You know, because in the moment, I think that the other person ultimately makes you feel better about yourself. And it's certainly not that Stephanie did a bad job of making me feel good about me. But the reason I think that in an affair, we've said this many, many times, you always want what you don't have. And when someone doesn't have to pick up your dirty laundry and doesn't have to cook all your meals and when they're only getting the best part of you, you know, they adore you. They think you're magnificent. You know, they're not having to deal with any of your crud. Were you going to say something, Steph?
Well, I don't want to speak for you, but I remember you telling me this, that the forbidden, the enticement, the excitement, the sneaking around, if you will, is a big piece of it. You know, that really makes those endorphins go off in the brain, and it just generates a chemistry there that is pretty hard to beat.
It's the old don't eat the apple syndrome, whatever we're told not to do. That's exactly what we want to do. Well, we're, you know. The
right.
Reaction.
You don't want to. Yeah. When we're told what not to do, then there's a part of us that naturally wants to do the opposite.
Well, I had a similar experience when I was a young man in my 20s before I became a Christian. I was married 5 years and I had an affair, and I did not get the same reaction that your wife did. I was thrown out, and that was the end of that marriage, which, you know, I regretted. So my next question is, Stephanie, how did Rick get so lucky to get to stay home?
Well, this was one question that they asked me. They said, why? You know, why did you forgive him? And, you know, what I explained to them then was that, I will still say the same thing now, he became a tremendously broken man. He became very transparent. He just became very, had such a spirit of humility, repentance. He was willing to do whatever it took to regain my trust, to regain, you know, some type of integrity with me, and to work on the marriage.
So that enabled you to trust him again?
Yes. But it was a process. That was one thing I wanted to say. I didn't cheapen, you know, when he asked for forgiveness, for me to have immediately said, yes, I forgive you, to me, it is a good example of cheap grace, because I was not ready to forgive him because I wasn't convinced of his repentance. I wasn't convinced he was really sorry. And it wasn't that I felt like I needed to beat him over the head with that. But at the same time, I needed to see some steps taken in the direction of changing his behavior. And that's exactly what he did. He got an accountability partner for himself. Every day, he would sit down with me, answer any questions I had. He was just totally transparent. And that was very painful for him and very painful for me. But it was a necessary piece of the process.
But at first he was lying and denying. That's what you said, Rick. You were denying and lying.
When I asked him if he had a crush on her, because I was feeling so conflicted, this was my best friend. And this was my husband. And I would watch them interact together in what I would call flirting. And her husband was there too. And I kept thinking, does he not see this? Am I crazy? And so I asked him if he had a crush on her. And he lied to me and said no. So that was several weeks before he came to me and told me about the affair. So yeah, when he did confess the affair to me, from then on, he was different.
So why did you stop denying Rick the affair and stop lying? What made you want to come clean?
Well, ultimately, as I said on the Mike and Juliet show, I had to come to Jesus meeting. But really, the Lord just came and whacked me upside the head really hard with a 2x4 and said, you need to go tell your wife and you need to go tell your best friend. And I was trapped. And that's the problem with, you know, anytime you get in that type of situation where you've gone that far away into your own rebellion, kind of your own self-centeredness, your own narcissism, you know, I didn't even know how to get off that merry-go-round once I got into it, because it seemed to me like it was a lose-lose proposition. If I told, I was going to get kicked out of the house. If I didn't, I was going to get caught. I mean, like, which way do you turn at that point, right? I mean, it's all bad. And, you know, it's sad to me, for instance, when you say your wife kicked you out, simply because I just don't think that that's the way it needs to be. As I'm always saying, it's astounding to me that in our culture we're far more tolerant of divorce than we are of unfaithfulness. That if somebody's unfaithful in some way, that's immediately, you know, we say divorce is going to be the better option, when in reality, I don't think divorce is generally the better option. It's certainly, I think, the loyalty bonds that were created by a marriage, we ought to at least explore what went wrong and see if there's a reason to consider this relationship still. And so I just think that's incredibly important to look at that. And I think sometimes it's how we tell that also causes that reaction where, you know, we get drop-kicked through the goalpost of life. And I think that if it's done the right way, frequently, you know, maybe that hurt spouse won't respond in such a way as to kick you out.
I want to add that, just in case there are some hurt spouses listening who find it amazing that I could do what I did, I did consider divorce. I'm not saying I was angry. This is 24 years ago, so I can talk about this calmly now, but I had a child who was not yet 2 years old. I had quit work when she was born to stay home and be a wife and a mother. I was furious.
Let me affirm that. She was mad.
I was very angry. I was angry at Rick. I was angry at my best friend. I was angry at anybody else who knew and didn't come to me and tell me. And when I say a process, I mean a process, because it took me a while. You know, there's stages of working through something like this. And I was not sure that I would ever be able to trust him again. And I actually mentioned divorce to him. You know,
several times, by the way, if I could add.
Oh, well, my memory fails me.
And you didn't have a Christian marriage counseling set up like Rick now administers.
Let me tell you, my immediate response is to read a book about something, because I'm an avid reader and I'm always sure that there's something out there that I can read. So the next morning I got up and I went to the Christian bookstore. One book on the shelf that had something to do with an affair, and it was by Peterson. It was The Myth of the Greener Grass, which is an excellent book. It's hard to find nowadays because there are lots of books out there about affairs. Now, 24 years ago, there was not. There were one. I found one book on the shelf. It caught my eye because it had a silver cover. And I know that was the Lord's hand, because it was the perfect book for us. But there was nothing out there. There were not. Well, first of all, the term sexual addiction, to my knowledge, had not been coined at that time. Affairs were something that just were not talked about in the church. And I had married a Christian thinking that this was something I would never have to worry about. I mean, the man taught Sunday school, for goodness sakes. And I had always thought if anybody was unfaithful that it would, you know, probably be me.
That's what I thought too, honey.
Oh, well, thank you. And so, no, there was, you know, we found a pastor that we went to talk to about it. He was not at our church, obviously. And that was very helpful. But bless his heart, I mean, he gave us good biblical advice, but, you know, I think he was as blown away as we were.
I like the title of the book. I haven't ever heard of the book, but I think that is exactly what happens with at least men. I don't know how women think, but I think it's my guess is about 100% of men at least contemplate, or at least, you know, will look at women other than their spouses and desire them. And Jesus said, that's as good as doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and if that's true, what Jesus said, and of course it is, that if you think it, you do it, 100% of men have cheated on their wives. And I don't know if women think that way through their eyes. And
a lot of women do, but the women, you know, overall are not visual.
More emotional, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we're, you know, that was my story as far as being a young man that was an adulterer, was I was perfectly happy with my wife, but I was greedy. It's that sin nature, just wanting more than you have out of pure gluttony. And
you're right.
There's no excuse for it.
The myth of the greener grass, that's a very good title. It is very descriptive of the way affairs come about.
Yeah, and our approach is, you know, the grass is always going to be greener where you water it. In fact, frequently the grass is always greener over the septic tank, but that's neither here nor there. Living out in the country, you discover that pretty quickly. But, you know, it's funny where you find truth, and it's funny where you find what you're really looking for, and I think most of the time it's under your nose. It's not out there with something else. So, yeah, she was really mad, I think, when I first told her. But at the same time, I think my willingness to help her begin to heal. There are five steps that really the unfaithful spouse has got to go through if they're going to help their mate heal. And the first one is really just a willingness to be honest about it. The second one is godly sorrow, which is really just grief. They want to know that you're grieving over what you have just cost them. The third one is actually an understanding, just almost an insight into what you've cost them. That just almost an empathy that you care that you just hurt them so blooming bad. Another one is restitution. I mean, are you willing to do whatever it's going to take to help them heal? It's so strange to me that frequently, maybe it's because of the unfaithful spouse's shame, but you'll sit there and say, look, you know, you need to help your mate heal, and they'll just kind of go, well, I think they just need to kind of get over it, you know, because oftentimes they just feel like their mate is trying to kill them.
To Rick's credit, he never told me that. You know, weeks I would ask questions, and I'm sure I ask, and I've talked to other women in the same situation, and repeatedly I would ask him the same question over and over again, because for one thing, in my grief, I would forget I'd already asked him. But I just needed to hear it again. I just needed to hear that answer again. And he never said to me, you know, would you just quit asking me the same question? Or could you just get over it now? And those steps are exactly what we take couples through when we have our EMS weekends.
Or when we do the online courses. Yeah, George.
I've always told Rick from the inception of this show how important I thought this kind of a show program was for Christian station, for any station really, because I do think that there's a whole lot of a denying of reality in the church that people don't like to fess up.
Absolutely.
And as I said, I believe 100% of men do lust after women. I think pornography is probably very pervasive within the church. The divorce rate is certainly as high in the church as it is without the church. So we have a huge problem, but people are not talking about it, and that's why this ministry is so crucial, because it does bring honesty and reality to our relationships. And why the phones aren't melting every week when you come on with people trying to deal with their personal problems, pornography or lust or adultery, I don't know, because I'm sure it's just rampant in the church.
Well, probably because, you know, I don't announce the number often enough. That doesn't help. I mean, the fact that you could call area code 512-637-9673 and talk to Stephanie, that's 637-9673. Anyway, Stephanie would love to answer all of your questions here as we go along. But, which brings us to one of the interesting points of the program on Wednesday, which was when Stephanie said she had been – we start talking about forgiveness, and forgiveness is a talent.
Oh, yeah. Mira's belief is that forgiveness is a talent, and either you've got it or you don't got it. And I told Rick, I said, well, that sounds like it, we're putting it right up there with a musical instrument or being able to paint a picture. And I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, it's not a talent. It's a gift that you give yourself.
Okay. Michelle, are you online? It's interesting. George says melt the telephone and not phone lines, and the phone lines start melting. But anyway, Michelle, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Michelle. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, but I'm listening to y'all's radio station, and I just had to call in. I was just moved by the Spirit to call in. I was the person who took the husband away from the wife. It melts my heart now that I'm a born-again Christian, and I know what that woman must have been going through. We had our affair at... The thing about it was is that I was ignorant to the fact that he was married. He lived in Dallas. I lived down here. He worked down here and kept an apartment down here and never, ever let me know that he was married. We were 6 months into our relationship before I found out, and she had called the apartment, and I was like, well, who are you? And she told me she was his wife, and I about dropped dead right there at that phone call, but yet my heart would not let me let go of that man.
Yeah.
I decided to continue on with the relationship because he told me that it had been over with them for a long time, and he was going to leave her, and he just didn't have the heart to do it. And now that he found me, I was the love of his life. He'd never fell in love with anybody like he was with me, that he would leave her. Well, we went through about a year and a half or 2 years before he left her. He left her. We got married. We were only married for 1 year, and he did the same thing to me.
Right.
And found somebody else. And I just want anybody out there listening to know that do not get into a relationship like that.
Michelle, yeah. Did you say that you are a born-again Christian now? You weren't at that time?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I thought you said. Well, thank you for sharing that story, because I know that's probably a difficult one for you to share. And also, you know, God's forgiveness is just perfect for you.
And I feel, you know, Michelle, you know, beginning a marriage out of an affair, there's only about a 15% chance of success. And Mira, I think, doesn't really address that very well in her book, which I wish that she had done a little bit better research on that.
There's a book called How to Have an Affair, and I don't remember the author, but it was she was on Oprah a while back being interviewed by her book, and she had a long-term affair. And the title is tongue-in-cheek, because she was actually writing saying, this is what you need to be prepared to sacrifice in your life if you decide to have an affair. And she does talk some about those people who find out when they're into the relationship that the other party is married. And she just talks about that how they string you along, exactly what Michelle was saying, that they string you along with promises of marriage, and then it generally doesn't ever happen, but if it does, it's not good. So
yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, a person's heart, our heart is so devious to us. You cannot live by your heart.
Right, the heart is
I have learned that. I have learned that over and over. I came from a family where my mom had affairs, and, you know, it was just like a, oh, well, it's no big deal common thing. Well, it right. is a big deal. And, you know, the thing that got me the most with that marriage and that affair was that there was a three-year-old child that was involved, that was their child. And I tried walking away a couple of times, and he would not let me. And if anybody out there is listening, if they're in a relationship like that, I beg of them, I plead of them, just walk away. Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle. I really, really appreciate your willingness just to come online and share that word.
Thank you. Thank you for taking me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So there's an example, and that's just, of, I guess, one of the really sad things that can happen through this whole situation. So when she began to bring up that forgiveness is a talent,
oh,
I thought Stephanie was going to have thermonuclear meltdown. That's where the debate began, right,
well,
at that point.
We had already, you had already told me, I did not read the book, but Rick had told me this is one of the things that she believes, is that forgiveness is a talent. And I believe all of us have the capability to forgive. For some people, it is harder than others. It takes more work than it does for others. But I just believe that when God created us, He created all of us with the capability of forgiveness, because that's exactly what He talks about in His Word, is the importance of forgiveness. So I just, Mira was a very nice lady. I don't want to say that she was not a nice lady. She was very nice, very polite to us, and we did tell her that we were so grateful that she was involved in the battle for marriage in the way that we were. But it seemed like that she had not been able to find a process that would enable her clients to work through the affair, the five steps that you talked about, Rick. It seemed as though that she didn't have an understanding of that and wasn't able to take them through that. And consequently, they didn't have any way to deal with that frustration and that unforgiveness. And so in her mind, since they could not forgive, then you just don't tell.
Right. Right. It would be better off not to tell, and, you know, because the probabilities of someone not getting kicked out were too great. But on the other hand, I just think it would be tragic to spend the rest of your life living in a relationship that's a lie.
Not only that, but I was going to say, had you not told me, Rick, do you really think that you would have been able to have recovered, to have become faithful to me, and maybe you would have been able to walk away from that particular individual, but do you think that you would have been able to have really become faithful to me and recovered from that?
No, I mean, what ultimately changed our relationship was the fact that I was able to tell you the truth. And then what ultimately changed me was the fact that you were able to love me even after you really knew what I'd done. And that changed how I looked at you, which changed our entire relationship.
And one of the things that they asked me on the show was, of what benefit had it been to me for him to have told me? And I said, huge. I said, we have a level of intimacy in our relationship now that we would never have been able to have attained had you not been transparent with me. Well, first of all, I would have thought I was losing my blooming mind, but just because we began to reveal things to each other that we never even knew would be beneficial to reveal. And, of course, you happen to have had a history that it was good for me to know about. So I cannot imagine having been able to turn our marriage around without you having told me.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, the word, the Bible says somewhere in there that repentance comes, forgiveness can only come from repentance, forgiveness. They're tied together. And Rick couldn't have forgiven himself if he hadn't repented. So, yeah, it's absolutely necessary. This lady who wrote the other book, she's obviously not a Christian then, right?
Mira?
Yeah.
Rick said that he didn't get any indication in her book that she was a Christian. You know, it could have been she was, and she just didn't reveal it in the book, but I don't think so.
No.
She didn't do counseling from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, these are not principles, you know, to be dishonest and deny and just cover up the sin by forgiving somebody without repentance.
Right.
That's not a biblical concept.
Right. And repentance. I kind of did the grief one twice in my list of five. I don't know if y'all caught that or not because I left repentance out, but I wasn't going back to that. But, George, since you brought that up, I will digress and make my correction. When I said godly sorrow and grief and kind of that whole empathy piece are all the same. Repentance is the other one, and a willingness to ask a willingness to seek forgiveness from the other person. Those were the last two.
Right. And I think the scripture you're thinking about, George, is one that talks about godly sorrow leads to repentance.
Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians 7.
Yeah, yeah. There was something else that she mentioned on there. Oh, she talked about past truth and future truth.
Yeah, you didn't have
there's
to be.
There's a difference between.
You didn't have to be honest about the past if you could be honest in the future.
Yeah, she said there's a difference between honesty in the past and honesty in the future. And I think what she was trying to say was that you may not have been honest in the past, but you can be honest in the future. And I thought, but you know, if you've been dishonest in the past and you don't confess that and you try to be honest in the future, where is your help coming from? Because one of the things that spoke so strongly to me was Rick's immediate search for an accountability partner. And someone that would hold him accountable because he really knew it's very difficult for the hurt spouse to be the accountability partner. Even though he would confess things to me, he needed to have a third party. And so thinking about how you would be honest about the future, having a dishonest past, but wanting to have an honest future, but not having a transition there by being transparent and honest, it was hard. I had a hard time grasping that.
Very inconsistent.
Exactly.
But I think for those who are listening tonight and those who've had an affair that their spouse doesn't know about, or even, as I was talking about earlier, just affairs of the mind where you're visiting pornography every night or just lusting after your secretary in the daytime, would it not be a good idea for these spouses to go ahead and fess up now?
Absolutely. If I had had the wherewithal to let Stephanie know the struggle I was having, then it certainly would have saved a world of trouble. And, you know, if hindsight's 20/20, if I had it to do over again, when that struggle began, I would have talked about the struggle. That would have been real important to me.
Because it's a slippery slope, whether it's an emotional affair, there's a book called Not Just Friends, whether it's just a friendship at the office or whatever, you know, Rick defines infidelity as the keeping of secrets, and that doesn't have to be physical. And so it's a very slippery slope from that emotional friendship to a physical affair.
Yes. So if you just want your spouse to wear a red wig and high heels, that might, you got to tell her that instead
That's right.
Secretly lusting for that.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. So we're probably getting close to the end of our time. I just did want to remind remind you guys of something. If you go to affairrecovery.com, there's a little box at the right side of the blog, and it just says Hurt Spouse Notification or Hurt Spouse Recovery. Get updates on our new program, Priority Notification List. Please get on that site. You're gonna want to get involved in the email stream, the updates that are happening about our new program that'll be coming out in the very near future, hopefully within the next 4 weeks. And
are you talking about Harboring Hope?
Yeah, the Harboring Hope class.
The online
class. And we're going to be giving away, again, lots of free stuff that you're really going to enjoy, so you're going to want to join that. So please take the time to go to the website and join that list.
Did you want to tell them about the next EMS weekend that we have?
Would you like to tell them?
It's in August, and I believe it is the last weekend in August.
Yeah, it's going to be the 25th, 26th, and 20th. No, it's not live. That's July. It will be the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
And I believe that's on our website as well.
That's on the website as well, so you can look under resources, and that'll be the next one, the 22nd through the 24th. And if you're going to be in the Utah area, we'll have another one the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And hopefully in the month of September, if you'd like to be a part of the Marriage 911 course, the online course, it will be available again at that point. So I really do want to encourage you guys, get on the website and look at those dates. We would certainly love to be a part of your healing process as we go through this thing. Stephanie, any last comments about the New York trip, by any chance?
Get me a driver, honey.
She wants a driver. That was good. Yeah, because after the show, it was kind of neat. We got to walk around downtown New York.
We spent an hour at the FAO Schwartz toy store. It was wonderful. What does that say about us?
Yeah, because instead of, I don't know, but we really had fun in the toy store, and I got a great glider.
Yes, you did.
I can fly in the living room. I'm having a good time with it.
Well, so. I think I do want to make sure that we say the last, this was one thing you want to make sure you said in New York, and I know you probably say it every time you're on the air, and I'm just not here, but I just want to say that infidelity can be healed. It can be cured.
Right, and we certainly want people to know that it is possible to get beyond this stuff, and it really makes good sense to, I think, try to get beyond this stuff. It makes a lot of sense. And you know, after all was said and done, what we learned in New York is you really can spend $50 for two sandwiches, which we thought was amazing.
You can. Absolutely.
That is probably the most Fifth Avenue and food somehow are not – they don't go together well.
Is the place more expensive than Austin?
Yeah.
You know, when you're from the country –
yeah, you know, we just go out and kill a chicken and cook it, you know. It's pretty easy. Or go collect the eggs. But anyway, we want to thank you.
You never did. I the website, if you did mention it, it went by me.
Well, the affairrecovery.com, that's affairrecovery.com if you want to see the dates. And we'll be announcing in an email, I hope, tomorrow who the winner of the Bad Advice blog is. So thank you all for joining us tonight. I just hope you guys have a good week. We look forward to talking with you next weekend.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?